My interest in this comes from looking at two-dimensional processes in row crops. You know, crops when they're planted in rows, they impose a kind of an architecture on the soil that affects all the soil processes in the below it. It's things like temperature relationships, water uptake, infiltration. And I sort of first looked at this, looking at as interested in infiltration, water uptake, temperature dynamics, and we're also with the crop models that we develop in our lab at the Crop Systems and Global Change Laboratory. We have our soil model is two-dimensional. So in order to, what's driving all the two-dimensional, a lot of the two-dimensional processes in the soil is light interception, and especially, you know, where you have additional radiation on the soil between the crop, within the center of the crop row and that inter-row area, how does that affect the soil temperature, which affects all the other processes, like the biological processes. And this is something David Fleischer, Armin Kamanian has done a lot of work with modeling light interception. David and VR, Dr. Reddy, are both colleagues of mine at the Crop Systems Lab. So the architecture of, as I mentioned, that's the architecture results in variable light interception and the energy transmittance. And so it really varies by the things like the leaf density and the orientation of the crop rows to where the angle of the sunlight. So there's a lot of variables that are involved there. So a few studies have really focused on light interception across plant rows. It's just looking at the light interception itself rather than the effect on the plant growth, you know, and making averages and such. A lot of studies have been done with tree crops because tree crops are really very strongly three-dimensional in a sense, and all those two-dimensional aspects come out of that as well. When we have one-dimensional models we work with for crop models, they assume that there's an average values of light interception for the canopy, and they partition, and you have an average value of light interception. Don't worry about diffuse and direct light. Everything is direct. It's an average, and then you average the value of the energy over the crop itself and then partition energy to the inter-row and the row zones based on the leaf area, the canopy, how much canopy cover you have. And we have a two-dimensional model called 2D soil that's derived from Hydro's 2D. Then when we've coupled it with mechanistic crop models, and we can use this to distribute light and energy in the inter-row zones as a function of row space and crop height and architecture. And so what I've done here, I've set out a couple of experiments where I'm trying to assemble data sets that I can test the model. And so we know that the diurnal effects of the changing sun path in this model are accounted for using a hedgerow model that was originally developed for the soybean model Glycem, and it's also in crop grow that Ken Booty developed. But it's still one-dimensional in a sense, but it takes into account and it calculates an average light interception in the mid-row zone based on plant height at different times of day, but doesn't really tell you what's happening at every exposition along that inter-row zone, say midway between a quarter way between the rows, halfway between the rows. It just averages it. This is the field I worked with in the 3 years, and I always look at this. I get a feeling like I'm looking at it from upside down. I'm not sure why that is, a funny perspective. But this is in Beltsville, Maryland, and it's a field that's rather long and narrow, and it gives you the perspective. It's almost north. The north is up and down, and east, west, left, and right, and it's almost like an angle there. And we've worked at the left end of the field down there. Done a couple of studies. It's primarily a sandy loam, and it has that kind of orientation. We collected the data over a period of 3 years under different conditions. We want to quantify the spatial distribution of light interception, temperature, and soil water dynamics in corn, and we also looked at potato as well. We measured the photosynthetically active radiation using light sensors, one meter light bars, and we had a number of them at different positions, different orientations. We wound up using two types because it turned out they're very expensive, and the Apogee line quantum sensors were quite a bit cheaper, so we could get more bang for our buck, so to speak. But they actually, if you calibrate them together, they give a fairly similar response, and so we didn't have much of a sensor effect, and we tried to distribute everything everything wasn't one sensor in one location. So we measured at the same time. We also measured things like leaf area, growth stage, height, and leaf appearance. Pretty much tried to measure at one-week intervals for all the crops. And light interception we averaged over an hour and centered at the top of the hour because you actually have, there's a lot of variation in it, and this is a good way to narrow down that variation. In 2006, we used one row spacing and three nitrogen levels to give us differences in crop, differences in plant leaf area. That we use corn as a crop. We had a high detail in radiation measurements. We had a limited number of, at this time, we were still purchasing, later on we purchased more light bars. I didn't have a lot of light bars at this time. So what we did is, when the crop was at full canopy, we took the 7 light bars we had and put them in one location for 3 days and then moved them to another location to get the different crop density, crop measurements from the different from the different variations in architecture. And we did the measurement period over a period of from the 21st of July to the 4th of August. So we had 2 measurement periods for the zero end treatment and 1 each for the others. And we used 7 Licor line quantum sensors, and they're located interrow spacings. Every 15 centimeters, about 15 centimeters, we placed them. Eight. And we rotated among the 3 treatments, and light measured every 5 minutes in any one plot for 3 days, and then we moved it to the other treatment. And we had fairly consistent, within that 3-day period, we had enough bright sun and cloudy days to give us similar conditions over the 3 measurement periods. And there were 2 measurements for the zero and 1 for each of the others, as I mentioned. This gives you an idea how we set up the light bars between the rows. And if I had this to do over again, what I realized later, this setup actually makes it too sensitive to the variation in row plant density on either row. So what happens is that the sun comes up in the east, it's to the right, and then if you have 4 plants per meter on the right because of the way the planting is, and 6 plants per meter on the left, then you're going to get slightly different interceptions because of that. And I think it's better if you center it on the row and then space it away to the interrow, your light bars, to take measurements like this. In 2007, we used 2 row spacings and 2 end levels, and I had more light bars this year. So this gave us moderate detail between the rows, but high detail and time during the growing season, and the crop was corn. The sensors for the narrow row spacing, which is 38 centimeters, were at 317 and 35 centimeters, and the wide row spacing we used, again, almost similar to what we had done before, but not quite as many sensors. And we used 2 types of light bars, and now I had more to do this study with. And we measured the measurements were collected from shortly after emergence to full crop cover. So this way I had a full, more detail throughout the crop season, but maybe slightly less detail within between the rows. We had a problem. We had to use a grain planter to plant the corn, and so the corn had a pretty bad emergence, and so we had to really pick a few good spots in the field to do the measurements. It's a problem sometimes with doing something a little different with having the right equipment to get things, the way you want it. So we had the crop growth was limited by drought this year. We did have some drought. This gives you an idea, again, with the 2 row spacings, how we set out the light bars in the different places. There's another closer look at the closer row spacing one. And this is why when we had a bit of drought, when the plants dried a little later, but before we irrigated them. We were able to irrigate them, though. And this shows the setup. We also had TDR probes out there. I had some from the surface where I placed downward, and we buried others. We had dug a trench across between 2 treatments and placed the TDR probes in the trench. And I used the Campbell Scientific's equipment to measure all the equipment. In 2008, we had 2 nitrogen levels, which gave us high detail between rows and high detail and time during the growing season. Here we used potato. And the light sensors were spaced every 15 centimeters, as they were in 2007. But the growth here, we had some severe water stress this year as well, due to low rainfall after June. So this gives you what this looks like. Here's the potato field we had pretty sparse growth here. This was early in the season, so it did grow out a little more than this to cover the interrow. But it never quite covered the interrow zones. Here's another shot of it looking down the field. This is where the corn was out, and we had a light bars. We also put light bars out in the outside to give us light interception when there was no cover. And this we could scale the relative light, capture within the rows. And there's we had a solar panel and the equipment for measuring on the left there. That's where we had to see the difference in the nitrogen levels, how it affected the corn growth to give us the different life areas. Here's the results. We don't have a pointer, do we? I can use a mouse.
Oh, that's right.
That's more smart. So this shows light intercepted by the soil, not by the crop, because I'm a soil scientist. I want to look from that perspective. Thank you very much. What are your participation there? So you want to get back to those results. Here we go. So we have, so this is light interception by the soil. So what you have here is the, this is the low nitrogen treatment where more light passed through the soil, and here's the high nitrogen treatments. And at 800 hours, when you have the light coming in at the angles, you see there's not really much difference in light interception among the different treatments, slight differences. And the treatment, really what it increases in midday when you have the light directly coming down in the canopy. And this is where a lot of the variance comes due to leaf area and all the canopy architecture is really what's happening in the edges of the, toward the edges of the rows. And when the sun's directly above, you actually get a lot, it's somewhat fewer differences. It goes back and forth. You see the differences are not really large as much, but then you do see that the it's more variability there's more variability here in the midday. But then you do have some effects of the row angle and what's the plant population on either side of the light bars here. So these are all bright sunny days and shows in the different times. Here's west. So this is the east side of the row. This is the west side. So the sun's coming from this direction. So in the morning, this is 8 a.m., you got the sun coming down here, and then the sun's coming the other angle here. So really, you can see that when the sun is at an angle through the thing, you get a lot more light capture by the plants. And when the sun is directly overhead, there's less light capture in a sense. And this is in the mid-zone. These are the water contents from this study. And I'm just showing the surface here, and this is under the plant and in the interrow. And what you can see is that the open circles are the high nitrogen, and this is the low nitrogen, the high density canopy here. And you see that what happens is that under the row with the high nitrogen, you really have a lot more root mass, so you see that there's more water uptake, and they start to diverge shortly after rainfall. Each step, this is nighttime during day water uptake, and so you're getting a lot more right under the row. You're getting a lot more water uptake by the plant under the canopies, but not. As you go to the surface on the interrow, you don't see as much differences in these two. And the plants, this is about full canopy. And so there's the effect of the light. Actually, this is the effect of the light being used to derive evapotranspiration from the soil itself. The canopy, of course, was not quite full. So this does under the plant. And the interrow represents sort of what's driven by soil evaporation, what's driven by the plant. And I'm still trying to make sense out of a lot of this. It's there's a lot to process through. And at 20 centimeters, you still see, and this is under the plant, you still see some differences here. And so they're due mainly to the additional root. So when you're concentrating your plant area in one place, you're also concentrating water uptake and nutrient uptake in that one place as well. Maybe that's the one message to take away from it. This is the 2007. We had different conditions. We're overcast, sunny, and under 3 days. And overcast, you get a lot more diffuse light. The light penetrates, diffuse light actually penetrates the canopy a little bit better than a direct light because there's more reflection from the leaves inside the canopy into different parts of it. And so the circles with the closed circles are the high density, the open symbols, closed symbols are high density plants, the open symbols are the low density plants. And you can see that as this again, you're looking across the row from west to east. And on an overcast day, these are at 12 o'clock at solar noon. So you see on an overcast day, you don't get as much difference. It doesn't really break out very much in terms of how much light is reaching the soil. But you see that on sunny days, you get more. It's actually interesting that you get this, the fraction of light intercepted by the soil increases for the low nitrogen, low density plants than for the under the where you have a lot of where you have a lot of diffuse light. And here again for sunny light. And what it really shows, if you show these two down here, that the effect of you have more of an effect of nitrogen than you do density. I think that's what it says. Trying to make sense out of that. So this is low nitrogen. I have a note on my thing that I can't see right now. Here's a nitrogen effect here. And if you look from this symbol to the high nitrogen, low density. From this symbol here to the other triangle, that's the effect of density. So really, in a sense, what you have is if you can increase your canopy by having nitrogen, you can do a lot more for it, for your production, than actually increasing the density of the plant. And I hope that's right. So you have, in a sense, the density. What is a density trumps nitrogen is what my conclusion was. So it's more density has a bigger effect on your light interception than the nitrogen does. And here, if I put this together with the K value for light interception overall, average overall position in treatments, shows that actually you have a very strong effect of the hour of the day on energy transmittance to the soil. And this shows it in three-dimensional. And you can see the hour of the day goes this direction here. That's hour, and the left center. So note that the variation in the hour K relationship with row position, and there appears to be an interaction between time and inter-row location, as we've seen before. But it's something somewhat difficult to tease out. This shows the fraction of radiation intercepted by the soil as a fraction of the function of leaf area index. And what you notice here is that that there's a lot more variance midday in the center position. There's a lot more variance over, if you take these three slopes for the different times, there's a lot more variance for the time within the center position than in the toward the where the rows are. So really what happens is a lot of your variance in interception is happening in the center of the row, which is where you can sort of maybe concentrate your interest in light capture and the effect and how it translates into carbon assimilation. And what's happening at the rows is really much less variable based on any other management things you might do to it. And maybe that's why the solar corridor thing works, because you're really managing that center row position there. So in a sense here, also you notice LEI dominates. So LEI is another thing very important. What the leaf area is, it really can be. It's a very also a very strong controller of what's happening in the interception. Here's looking at potato, and this is interesting because this one gives you an idea what happens when you have a different kind of structure of a plant. Potato tends to be viney, where the corn is very erect. And what happens with the viney plants is when you have if you have low nitrogen here and high nitrogen, that the high nitrogen actually transmits more radiation to the soil than the low nitrogen within the row. So the low nitrogen concentrates all its leaf area in the row, and when you give it higher nitrogen, you tend to get that leaf area spreads itself out across the rows more. So you have less capture in the row than between the rows with high nitrogen. So the plants tend to be more erect they tend to be more erect within the row, and so you have more transmittance of radiation, more radiation intercepted by the soil with the high nitrogen than with the low nitrogen. But the center of the furrow, it really depends a lot on leaf area index, how much you're going to have intercepted. When there's a lot of it, actually, see this plant never really cover nearly closed, so you get almost all the radiation being intercepted by the soil in the center of the row. And this shows at 8 and 9 o'clock, this is midday, and this is in early morning. And really, early morning, it's more of an effect of leaf area index than nitrogen content here. And the same thing but at the center of the furrow, you see it in the morning, there's it's almost the same relationship here. Again, you have the potato has most, and low nitrogen tends to be an erect plant in the center of the row and captures a lot of light. And so the use of an average leaf area may be acceptable to calculate radiation interception by the soil if we know soil angle and row position relative to north-south. But it remains to see if the variation in the K, which is the transmittance coefficient, with the hour of the day can be accounted for using path length through the canopy. And that's sort of now is my next step is to start running this through models to see if the model can account for these different effects. And the real question is how can I account for crop architecture? And there's an interaction between the hour of the day and the position on radiation interception. But the hour of the day does dominate. But how it affects the light interception really is a function of the position of where you measure the light. So it didn't separate light into diffuse and direct components. But there's some necessity to do this. You know, on the cloudy days you get a lot of diffuse light, and you're getting some photosynthesis that day as well. And so if you have bright sunny days all the time. Actually, would it be necessary to consider the solar corridor concept considering the kind of climate you have. If you're growing in a bright, sunny, everyday bright and sunny, or if you're growing in a situation where you have, let's say, maybe 20%, 30% cloudy days. And I need to, like as I mentioned before, that I have to consider a better placement of the light bars. I think if I'd done this again, if I do this again, I'd put the light bars centered on the row rather than centered on the inter-row. And LEI does dominate in light perception, one thing I noticed from this. And so it's getting an LEI is important. And the next thing is how that LEI, how that leaf area index really, how it changes with height of the canopy. And thank you.